Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. We're your hosts, Christine Renee
and Izzy Wells. We come together with more than 25 years of experience in Reiki, meditation, chakra wisdom, clairvoyant techniques, and holistic healing. We are passionate about helping individuals release resistance, step into their authentic selves, and align their lives with the truth of who they are.
Reiki Cafe Radio is your choice for vibrant Reiki conversations, meditation experiences, and holistic wellness. This is your space for a deeper look into the ancient wisdom through modern eyes. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we sip our way through this week's episode.
Welcome, welcome to today's coffee conversation. We are really excited for today, this topic of sharing our Reiki stories and how our Reiki journeys have unfolded is always so much fun. And I feel like you guys have heard me say again and again that I really believe that we find healing in solidarity and in hearing other people's stories. And so that's really what we're going to be doing today. And of course, we would love to invite you to share your Reiki story over in the Reiki Cafe Community Facebook group. So whether that's in a comment or its own post, we would love to hear how Reiki found you and how it has transformed your life. We just got back from the Northeast Reiki retreat. And one of the prompts that they had for the audience to share was, what was your craziest, most amazing Reiki story? And so that's our prompt for you guys this week, is go over to our Reiki Cafe Community Facebook group and let us know, what was your craziest, most amazing, or most rewarding Reiki story?
You know, and it was so hard. Like at this point in my life, I'm like, which one do I choose from? Which decade do I choose from? So this will be like, I feel like this, we can have these conversations again and again and again. And even if you're telling your story or someone else is sharing their story, there's so much to learn and gain from just storytelling. And this is one of the things that I've really come into resonance with over the last couple months of going, you know what? I absolutely love storytelling. And it is a really great way to also teach. And this is something that, you know, Takata did. And like, this was part of the way Reiki was taught back in the day, was like, it was through stories, through experiences of like, this is what happened. And this is how Reiki supported it. And I think we need to bring some of that back. Because you'll notice this, if you're beginning to be a Reiki teacher and you're like, do you think, you know, 4 or 5 hours is long enough? And I'm like, oh, well, it's going to just expand. Like I can barely contain a level one class in 8 hours because there are so many stories to be told that's going to help my students along their healing journey, along their Reiki path. And so, you know, give yourself permission, like be where you're at. Like if you don't have stories yet, tell other people's stories, tell your Reiki master teacher stories if you don't have your own. And know that they'll come as long as you're practicing. And I always go back to Reiki is a daily practice. Reiki self-care should be something that we're doing regularly, continuously, integrated throughout our life, whether that is waking up first thing in the morning and you have a morning ritual, or you're giving your food blessings at breakfast, or you're going for a Reiki walk and communicating with nature, like whatever it may be for you, notice that, appreciate that, and share that. So we would absolutely love to hear your Reiki stories, whether they're just little anecdotes that you've picked up here and there, or you want to tell us like how Reiki found you. I love it all. And I think it's so inspiring to share with one another.
Beautiful. Well, let's take a dive in. Christine, my friend, where do you want to start?
You know, I think I want to start with like, part of it is I want to share some of my history. I think there's a lot of people who are new to Reiki Cafe that don't know where our stories began. And so I want to start at the beginning. I know for our longtime listeners, you've probably heard this story before, but I really so appreciate how the universe works and planted seeds when I was a child. And recognizing in your own story, where were the seeds first planted? Where did you first hear about Reiki? And so that was the beginning for me. My dad was doing Reiki in the 1980s. So he was trained for his level one and level two by a Japanese woman. I keep my name, my eyes out for her name whenever I'm doing my Reiki history research, because I'm hoping that I come across it someday. But so he was practicing Reiki, and it back in the 80s, it was kind of a quiet hush hush thing. You don't really talk about it. We were also a practicing Catholic family, and so it wasn't, you know, our spiritual practices were, you know, in the home. But one of my very earliest memories was witnessing my father ask our Catholic priest for permission to do Reiki. And it was one of those conversations where I was young. I was probably 6 or 7 witnessing this conversation, and the priest gave him permission. Just a couple years ago, I was talking with my dad, and I was like, "Do you remember that? Do you remember that I was there?" And he was like, "Oh my gosh, you were there. You were at that conversation." And it was just in the hallway at church, having a non-formal conversation with your, you know, we were probably leaving and bumped into the priest and was like, "Yo, can I do Reiki?" And he was like, "Yeah, it sounds good." Like, but I mean, it was more than that. It was probably like a 5-10 minute conversation. And it was just that first seed that was planted, along with trying to catch glimpses of my father doing Reiki or trying to listen into Reiki. My younger brother had a severe car accident and lost his foot and almost his life when he was 6 years old. And another one of my earliest memories was trying to put my ear up to the door to listen to their session, because my brother had lots of knee problems with the prosthetics and like the healing process and all of the things. And remembering hearing the snap, crackle, pop of the joints, which is so not something that you hear about and your typical Reiki spheres. Like, Reiki typically doesn't make noise. And yet I remember having those experiences of listening in, and my dad later on telling me how, you know, when they did their Reiki circles, they always made him do knees. He was like the joint person. Like, that was his specialty. And I'm like, you just need to keep doing it. And so, but overall, his practice kind of dwindled, and he's an engineer and he refocused on his engineering career. And I really feel like his position in my life at that time was really to seed me with the Reiki possibility of, like, that's where I was first introduced to it. And I'm so grateful for that. So that when I became an adult and I first heard of Reiki again, I was like, oh, I want to learn that. I was always attracted to it. And so I did. I was able to pick up another, you know, crazy life path story. The university system didn't work out for me. I was too hypersensitive in the chemistry room, so I couldn't go into environmental studies or into medicine like I was planning on. And I landed on midwifery. And there, a lot of the people were already Reiki practitioners and masters in the midwifery world. And so that's where my training began. How was it for you, Izzy? I'd love to know, like, what was your first introduction? When did you first hear about it?
You know, it's so interesting. And this is part of the reason that I love the diversity of stories that we have with our Reiki Cafe team, because I never heard about Reiki growing up, right? Like, I grew up in a Christian family. There was a lot of, my mom had some negative experiences with what she calls New Age spirituality when she was 19. And really, it closed off a lot of her openness to anything spiritual outside of that, like, typical Christian mindset. And so that's the mindset that I grew up with. And I've always tended towards spirituality and more expanded thinking. And I love, my passion and purpose, especially as I was growing up, was really finding the ways that science was limited and how we could step beyond that and incorporate it into the spiritual world. So really bridging that gap between science and spirituality. And so I didn't even know what Reiki was at all for years, right? And so my journey really started, instead of hearing about Reiki or finding energy work, right? My journey really started when I got sick. I was 16. And at that point, I had started hearing my intuition. I had gotten into quantum physics. I was really, really looking into things like past lives and the quantum physics of healing and things like this. But it was still very science based, right? Like I went to school for nursing and psychology. I've always been very much science minded, but growing up, I was actually training to be a classical ballet dancer. And I did ballet for 16 years. And it was everything. It was all that I did. And looking back, I can realize, this is a whole other conversation, right? But I can realize how limited that box kept me. And the universe really needed to break me out of it. And so I got really, really sick. Like my organs were failing. I had all kinds of health issues. I broke my foot in 10 places at one point. It was really intense because that was what I needed for the doctors to be able to say, you cannot continue to dance or you will die, right? And so it's that age-old story of hitting rock bottom and being like, I need another option. Because at that point, I had had health issues for about 7 years and nothing was helping, right? There wasn't any support that I could find in the Western medical community that was helping my particular case. And so that's when I started looking at traditional Chinese medicine. I found the connection to the adrenals and fear, which kind of woke up my perception of the connection to trauma and PTSD. And so then there was a different side of spirituality that I stepped into where I found the chakras and I found traditional Chinese medicine. And so for me, Reiki came later. Reiki wasn't my first introduction to all of this. I found these other modalities first and started finding those mind, body, spirit connections that all just made sense to me. I still have the very first notebook that I ever wrote in when I started finding all of the emotional connections, right? And that spurred a whole other journey of going to school for psychology and studying trauma in the brain and all of these things. But for me, Reiki was actually, I woke up one day and I was like, I need to take a Reiki class. I had never heard of it. I didn't even Google it. I had absolutely no idea what it was. It was purely just, I woke up one day and I was like, this is what I'm doing. So I showed up to my first class and I still had no idea what it was. I had never had a session. I had never looked it up. I had absolutely no idea what Reiki was when I took my class. And I took it and I ran with it. And what's really interesting about that is by the time Reiki really flooded into my life, I was 19, which is the same age that my mom had had her experiences with all of the new age spiritual essences that she was kind of playing with. And for her, it was a really negative experience. And so looking back, I can tell that Reiki really did wait to come into my life until that time so that I could break that cycle. And it's been really amazing to watch how through my process of learning Reiki and then shamanism and really diving into this side of spirituality, being able to show my mom, look, it's actually healing and it's uplifting and it's creative and it's divinely guided and it's safe. And so that has kind of broken, you know, we talk about ancestral healing, generational trauma, all of that. We've kind of broken that chain through this process and I'm incredibly grateful for it. And I think that if I hadn't grown up in a spiritual bubble, if you will, I wouldn't have had as strong of an experience with experiencing that freedom when Reiki finally did come into my life. And so I think that's something where there are, you know, you hear stories from people all the time who are like, I just woke up one day and Reiki chose me, Reiki found me. And that was really how it was for me. Like I was doing distance Reiki sessions and still had never had a session of my own, which is not, I don't recommend that. That's not the way that I recommend going about it. But it was, in a way, I'm really grateful for it because what it did is I didn't have, you know, my Reiki training was one of those where my Reiki master gave me my attunement and then disappeared. And I didn't have any support and I didn't have anybody in my family that I could talk to. None of my friends knew what the heck I was talking about. And so I was kind of put again in this spiritual bubble where I had to figure out everything myself. And I'm incredibly grateful looking back now that Reiki gave me that experience because it was like I had to figure out on my own in a session, is this normal? Where do my hands go? Can I trust my intuition? What does this experience mean? Like it was completely self-guided for the most part. And that experience has allowed me to hold the space that I do for students now who are going through the same thing and really questioning everything of, well, how do I know that this is actually working? And is this really true? And what does this mean? And all of these questions that we have. And so now, of course, we have the Reiki Cafe community and my mom and I have conversations about it all the time. And I've attuned some of my friends and it's a really beautiful experience. But at the time, it was purely that I woke up one day and Reiki was just in my head and I went with it.
I love that story and I'm so glad you shared it. And I think that one of the things that stand out to me is like even when like I had Reiki from a very young age and I got my training, like my first attunements at a birth center and it was phenomenal for me to get trained in that type of unique setting and really connect with spirit babies and the energy and the vulnerability of birthing mothers and all of this. And, you know, I kind of stuffed it, you know, like I pushed it down, I pushed it away until I hit my rock bottom. So like, I think there's like, for me, it was like Reiki came in early and at the same time, I wasn't ready to walk the path of a Reiki master teacher. I got my Reiki master attunement for the wrong reasons. I really needed some sessions. I really needed healing. And the teacher that I had wasn't interviewing me. Like, I think I learned so much about how to talk to people about their Reiki training and their Reiki levels and what are you actually ready for, because I did it wrong. In my mind, I was like, wow, why would they have done that? Like, why did they give me like very short, very intense training? And then she wants it, like, just like your story, they just are gone. There's no mentorship. There's no connection. There's no follow-up. There was nothing. And I think that's what made me the teacher that I am today. Not only do I interview my students before they're going on to their next levels, but I'm also very, I want to know their story. I want to know why they want to take it. I want to know where, what they're struggling with. I want to know, is this the best route for you? And not saying that a Reiki master is always the answer. Sometimes it's not. And so I really appreciate the experience that I had. I feel like it made me the type of teacher that I am and the journey that I walked to get to where I am today. And part of it too is like, even after I got my original Reiki master training, I wasn't practicing the way, like I was denying it. I kept denying who I am due to the husband that I was married to at the time. And because no one else was practicing in the state of Montana at the time, and there was no community and support. And so that was part of it. And it was truly my own self going like, I can't listen to that inner voice. I can't listen to that, because what if it doesn't work out? What if I'm not accepted? What if people reject me? What if, like, all of those limiting beliefs were showing up? And in particular, like, if I do this as a career, I'm not going to make any money. I'm going to be destitute. Like, there's no way that I can create a Reiki business. And, you know, you have your, you know, the mother in the background going, Reiki is a hobby, just get a job, you know, like all of those things. And so I was like, deny for a long time. I think I was denying my path for like 5-6 years. And it was through my divorce process and doing some deep healing work and getting remarried and having a baby, like life went on, right? As I denied this true calling that I had. Like, the calling was there and they were knocking on the door, then pounding on the door, then breaking down the door, and then like ready to you know, shake me. Like, it just, the pressure that I was getting from the other side, from my spirit guides, was so incredibly intense. And I would deny and deny and deny and deny, and couldn't trust. I couldn't trust. I couldn't surrender to that they could take care of me. And that's where I landed in my own health crisis, my own suicidal thoughts, my own like dark night of the soul. And it was then that I was like, fuck it. Like, all right, I'm going to give up everything. I'm going to give up custody of my older son, where there was a lot of custody battles and arguments and all these things and distraction from actually healing myself. I was an empty cup trying to be mama bear and it wasn't working. And so I did that and I quit my job, which I was like, I don't know where the money's coming from, but I'm quitting. Everything's got to go. Everything has got to go. If it's not Reiki and meditation, I'm not doing it anymore. And that's where it started. So, you know, it was a difficult time in the fact that Reiki was being persistent. My spirit guides were being insistent. And as soon as I started trusting it and saying, I'm not going to deny this anymore. I'm not going to deny who I am. I'm going to trust it. And what happened was, is that I created the space And I created the boundaries to say yes to Reiki, to say yes to healing, to say yes to my self-worth, to say yes to boundaries in my life. And in that process, I dove into chakra healing and really began to do shamanic journey work around the chakras with Reiki in combination, and those two kind of fused together. And after 4, 5, 6 months of just like taking care of me and finding my feet again, I started teaching shamanic journey classes, like guided meditations, offering sessions at a yoga studio. And I wasn't denying myself anymore. I think there was this really clear distinction of like, there was no fear. And so many Reiki practitioners I speak with are still in that fear state of like, what if someone judges me? What if this doesn't work? What if I don't make any money? What if down? All of it's negative. And I was in the place of like, it can't get worse than this. Like there is no, I'm already at rock bottom. I don't care anymore. I don't care what people think of me. I'm tired of hiding who I am. And so I really fully stepped into my energy and power and was like, you do it. I'm meeting my guides. I was like, you want me to do something a certain way, then I need you to make it happen. So whether that was in session, it was really easy for me to get out of the way of my ego and be like, you want me to be doing this? Then you do it. I need you to fully show up. And so it was really quite lovely to like be able to have my ego, have my personality, everything just kind of step back and the Reiki show up and do the sessions. And when you do that and you just watch yourself kind of like from a third party angle, you can see like what's happening. Like I really went into Reiki sessions where I felt like I was the puppet and there were puppeteers. And the Reiki guides were guiding the session. My power animals would show up and I could see all of this happening and having these really profound healing experiences in that space. And, you know, I had one very pivotal client at that time, and she's still a client today and I love her. And she came to one of my shamanic journey classes where I was just doing guided meditations through chakra healing, through shamanic techniques. And after class, like it was just on a website, like come to, you know, this class, it's by donation. And so people would come. Like I loved advertising in whatever ways I could because the fear was gone. I just advertised everywhere. So she was on vacation and she came to my class, and afterwards she came up to me and she's like, do you do sessions? And I'm like, yeah, I do sessions. And so we did a session, and then she was like, well, what else do you do? I'm like, well, we can do a couple while you're here on vacation. And then she's like, but do you travel? I'm like, yeah, I could travel. She's like, would you put together a 3-day workshop for my Methodist church? And I was like, yeah, I could totally do that. She was like, great. Put a proposal together. Give me an invoice. I'm going to send it over and I'm going to see if I can get it approved. She ended up, all of that happened. She flew me out to Ohio. I did this really amazing 2-3 day shamanic journey for this Methodist Christian church. They were so awesome. I loved those women. They were great. They were really out there. I loved it. And really accepting. And I just remember being in this class of like, I was doing a guided shamanic meditation for someone to discover their healing tool. And one of the gentlemen came out of the meditation. He's like, well, I got crap. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, I got a shovel. I go, well, that's a great tool. He's like, what do you mean? I'm just going to do all the dirty work. I'm like, wait, hold on. Take a deep breath. Notice the shovel. Are you the type of person that doesn't mind getting dirty, that will go in and get the things done, that you're ready to be strong and like, and do it? And he's like, yeah, I am. That is totally me. I'm like, so you got the perfect tool. No, it wasn't a key to a beautiful jewelry box or whatever else, like everyone was getting. I was like, no, you got exactly what you needed. And just watching this community who was newly exposed to shamanic Reiki just have their minds blown was like, I was like the keynote speaker, and you know, I was probably only 30 years old, and I was having a microphone and standing in front of the audience, and and just feeling like this is what I'm meant to be doing. I really want to help people. I really want people to understand like there's a bigger side to spirituality, and it doesn't matter if you're Christian or not. Like, we have some big healing work to do, and the tools are available. We just have to go out and seek them and have that way to find them. And so after that, like, I remember on the drive home back to the airport. So she's my client's with me again. And she's like, so what else do you do? She's like, I'm just really struggling, and I could just really use someone who could do regular work with me. And I go, well, I do offer chakra coaching as well. And I hadn't ever had a client before for coaching, for like someone to help them through their healing process through the chakras. And she was like, yeah, sign me up. I don't know how much it costs, but just sign me up. I'm like, okay. So it was just, I really am so grateful to God, and for her, she would say Jesus, to keep providing those opportunities to teach me, like, I am ready for this next step. And she kept wanting to continue on the healing path. And I was continuously ready to walk with her on it. And it gave me the framework of so much that came later. It gave me the framework to my chakra mastermind, my first online program. It gave me that the context for so many of our guided meditations, because I would do guided meditations and it would come through organically. And I still do it this way today with her, where I go into a meditative space, I ask spirit what she needs, and then I just say what I see. And so there's so many of our guided meditations inside of our programs that actually came from sessions with her. And I love that. I love that the way spirit gives you the client that's going to not only help you, but help them. Like, it was like this perfect match. And I love working with her. So if you're listening to this, I love you. it gave me a lot of confidence, and it gave me a lot of going in the right direction. I was like, I can help people through the chakras. If I just use this lens, if I use this framework, it's going to get me there. And it really did lead to so many other pieces of like how the business came together. How did that side of it go? Yeah, it doesn't have to look like a one and done session or a 5 package. There's so much more.
Yeah. And I think exactly what you were saying is what I always come back to with Reiki is Reiki's always going to put you exactly where you need to be. It's going to give you exactly what you need in each and every moment, no matter what that is, right? And so I'm actually reminded of at the retreat we just finished, at the end, there was this really beautiful closing ceremony. We did this thing called a love line where everybody formed 2 lines. And as they went down the row, you would send them Reiki. And if you were intuitively called to say something to them, you would whisper it in their ear as they walked by. And for me, what came through for so many of them was you are exactly where you need to be. And it was really astonishing to watch how even just that one phrase, and people would just burst into tears, because it's like, I think as Reiki practitioners and as spiritual seekers, right, a lot of times energy or Reiki takes us to places we never thought we would go. And then we're filled with this divine inspiration and all of these ideas and all of this expansion. And we can end up feeling like we're not worthy of it, or we don't know where to take it, or we don't know how to do it justice. And then we're stuck feeling like something, I must be missing something, right? I can't possibly be the right person for this path that I'm walking. And so for me, I'm really grateful looking back for the lessons that Reiki taught me in the order that it did, because one of the very first lessons that I got, and I think it's one of the hardest to learn, was really how to let go. Because at the time that Reiki came into my life, it was a time when I had to let go of not just this art form that I had dedicated my life to, right? Like, I think when people hear me say that I was a dancer, they like to think of like competitions and stuff like that. But this was like, no, I was dancing 60 hours a week. I was about to sign a contract with a company to do this full time as a professional. Like, it was my life. It was everything that I did. And in an instant, it was literally one doctor's visit. And they were like, you can't go back. You absolutely can. If you want to continue being alive, you cannot go back. And that was an incredibly difficult lesson to learn, because it was like, yeah, my physical body got to live, but spiritually I felt dead. Like I felt like I lost so much of myself in having to step away from my life and what that felt like. And it really did feel like, I remember I was on a walk with my mom and I was like, I feel like I just lost myself. Like she's gone. And I have to figure out how to make a new version of me. And so I was, you know, I was 16, 17, 18 at the time, in that really ripe age. And it really did feel like I got reborn. Like I had to relearn how to be a human being. I had to relearn, who am I outside of this framework? And that was when Reiki really came in. And, you know, of course, looking back, I can see that Reiki was really one of those catalysts for that shift and that change. But it was like, I started my Reiki practice fully letting go, because it was one of these things where I really came to the realization that if my mind, if my personality, if my ego, whatever you want to call it, had gotten to choose what I would do, I would still be dancing. I wouldn't be doing any of this, right? Like I wouldn't be talking to you guys today. But at the time it was like, I wouldn't be here if I got to have my say. So clearly there's something more that I'm supposed to be doing. There's a different reason for me to be here. And I don't know what it is. So I'm done. Like I'm done trying to, what my mom would say, drive the bus. Like I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to let the universe take me. And at the time, I think I swung that too far. Like I can see in hindsight that it was really more a form of detachment, because I was so wounded by that experience that I didn't want to have anything to do with life anymore. But it was also incredibly powerful, because it's like I started my Reiki journey completely detached from my ego, because I didn't want that anymore. I was like, if it's going to hurt this much for my mind to control my life, then I'm not going to do it anymore. And so I really, at that time, I had already started playing with intuitive connection and developing what's now Soul Speak, which is a modality that we teach in our courses. And so I already had a little bit of that connection. And I was like, from here on out, that's the voice that is going to lead me, because I don't want to have to do that again. And again, you can kind of hear some of the dysfunction in the way that I'm phrasing that, but it was exactly what I needed at the time. And I think that's something that I always come back to with Reiki, is what you need isn't always perfect. It's not always tied up in a bow. It's not always healed. It's not always complete. Sometimes it's broken and jagged and hard, because you have to learn. And so if I had come out of that experience and been, you know, still a whole complete person and really healed and healthy in my relationship with Reiki, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. And so at that point, Reiki kind of took over. And like I was saying, I had to really figure it out one step at a time. But because I had that first lesson of let go, you don't know what you're here for, you have to trust, I really leaned into that. And it was this idea at the time of, I don't have anything else to hold on to. Reiki was the only thing that I had, this only light that I could see. And it was really interesting, because I remember when I first started stepping into more Reiki spaces, I really didn't get involved with the Reiki community until probably a year after I was attuned, mostly because the area that I was in at the time, I didn't have really clear access to a spiritual community. And so I really didn't get involved with other people who knew what Reiki was for about a year after. And when I first started, I remember being really surprised by the extent to which their Reiki practice was focused around sessions. Because for me, something that, one of the very first Reiki books I ever read was Mikao Usui's handbook, his journal. And in that journal, if you read it with fresh eyes, it's really, really clear that Reiki was this Buddhist practice that was first and foremost designed to be a pathway to enlightenment. It was almost like a meditation practice in that way. And at the time, I had done a lot of studying of the various world religions and finding all the commonalities. And I was actually, at that time, I was a practicing Buddhist. And so it really appealed to that side of me. And it became more of that pathway to enlightenment for me. And I used to like to say that the healing was just kind of a happy side effect of getting connected to the divine and getting in that space and really stepping into your truth and realigning with God or source or spirit or universe, whatever you want to call it. And so when I first stepped into the spiritual community, I remember being really surprised at how session focused a lot of Reiki practitioners were, because to me, in the way that I had found Reiki, in the way that it had unfolded in front of me, it really was more of a personal practice. And yeah, I did sessions and I shared it. And when the universe brought people into alignment, then there was that energetic exchange, but it was never something that I sought to give away, if that makes sense. Maybe that's not the right term, but that's what's coming to mind. And so it was a really interesting time for me because I think I started my Reiki practice with the understanding that for me, it was the foundation. Like I added coaching and I added shamanic studies and I added chakra work and I added soul speak, that modality I created. And I added all of these really beautiful things on top that became my practice for other people. But Reiki has always been the foundation. It's just in everything that I do, that flow of life to me is Reiki flowing through me. And so it's funny because people used to tell me when I first, you know, started working with Reiki Cafe University and I started being on the podcast, people would be like, I've never heard somebody talk about Reiki in quite the same way. And I think it really is because I came into Reiki outside of the framework that most people get. Like I had the basic teachings, I had the hand positions, I had the symbols. And at the same time, I've also always had a really, really deep connection to my intuition. And one of the things that I have been blessed with in this lifetime is an inability to maintain spiritual discomfort. And what I mean by that is if my soul is calling me to do something, it physically hurts to not do it. And I think a lot of empaths feel that way, right? Like a lot of spiritual people have that feeling. It's like an itching inside of like, I'm not doing something. And I think a lot of people tend to label that as a curse, but I'm incredibly grateful for it because it's like, I've never had a choice not to follow my intuition. You know, it's like when my intuition was like, you're going to drop out of college. I was like, great, we're dropping out of college. You know, like it was it. And everything has unfolded in so much more of a beautiful way than I could have ever imagined. But it's because I had that internal itch and that inability to stay where I wasn't meant to be. And so it, again, I think some of the hardest lessons for our students and clients to learn about letting go and following your intuition, I kind of got smacked across the face with those from a really young age. And so now I can hold space for those because I know what it's like to be on the other side of that. And so, you know, I think we all do have really pivotal moments and memories with clients. And for me, one of them was after I had started getting involved with the Reiki community and I started seeing clients and all of these things. I had this one man, he was from India. And he was one of my very first full distance Reiki sessions that I had done, right? Like I had done some practicing and things like that, but he was one of the first where like we were for an hour, he was on a different time zone, like completely across the world. And at this point in time, again, I've never experienced a Reiki session at that point. I really still wasn't entirely sure what I was doing. I just knew that I was supposed to be doing it. And there was still that little part of me that was like, does this actually do anything? Like, is it actually working or am I just making it all up, right? And so I went into this session with him. And if I remember correctly, I was even sending in an hour ahead of time. So not only was he across the world in a different time zone, but I was also, he couldn't do the session when I was still awake. So I was sending it forward in time. And I remember feeling a lot of really particular situations with his root chakra. And in particular, there's a ligament that runs called your inguinal something, but there's a tendon that runs right along your hip. And it was like, it felt completely severed. It's like there's some things really wrong here. And so we did a lot of Reiki and we healed it and all the things. And afterward, I reached out to him and I was like, how are you feeling? And he was like, well, I've had this injury for years that it's been really painful. I've had a lot of trouble with it. It's like, and I think it's been a while since this story, but I think he had been in a car accident and that tendon was severely damaged. And he was like, this is the first time that it's ever not hurt. And I remember that being such a powerful moment for me because it was like, I didn't do that. You know, like it was, I think it was also one of the first times where I really experienced what I like to call the humility of being spiritual, of this understanding that that was nothing I did. I was just there. I was just witnessing it. I was just holding space for that energy to come through. And yet, despite being 12 hours apart, 1 hour sending in the future and across the entire world, I could feel what was happening. And he felt healed from that. You know, he contacted me a week later and he was like, it still doesn't hurt. And it was really incredible for me. And I think that was really the moment where I realized that it sounds so funny because I'd been practicing for like a year at that point, right? But I was like, I think it was one of the first moments where I realized this actually does work. Like it's actually helping people. It's actually healing people. And more than that, I can be connected to it, not in an egoic way. It wasn't a, oh, look at me, I'm such a good practitioner. It was purely just a, Reiki has decided that I am worthy to be able to experience this. And I've really tried since that moment to cultivate that sense of awe in the work that we do. And I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, flash forward a few years when I got my shamanic Reiki training from Christine, and I started looking at, you know, non-ordinary reality and connecting to the spiritual world. And that sense of awe just deepened, because I don't think a day goes by, whether I'm teaching or doing a podcast or working with a client, where I'm not blown away by the depth of experiences that we get to have when we're practicing this, or the intensity of love and healing and insight. And it truly does just kind of blow me away each and every time that I connect to the energy. And I always go back to, I never would have had what I call my capacity to hold that space now if I hadn't gone through all of the things that I went through leading up to that. And so it's, you know, I look back and it's like, so I had two options, right? I had my mind's choice of, I would have kept dancing, I would have been slowly killing myself, right? Having bloody point shoes and ridiculous eating habits and all, but I would have gotten to dance, right? That was always what I came back to, is, but I would have been dancing. I would have gotten to be creative. I would have gotten to like share my soul in that way. Or I had my soul's option of getting me to exactly where I am now, of being the director of Reiki Cafe and sharing shamanic healing and experiencing the non-ordinary reality. And sometimes I ask myself, you know, as like a little gauge, if you could go back and you knew, and you know, you could have kept dancing, you could have been healthy, you could have stayed, if you knew, which one would you choose? And it's always, always this path, because no matter how difficult that was, no matter the things that I had to leave behind, there's not a day that goes by where I don't wake up and I'm astounded by where Reiki has kind of put me in life. And it really does go back to that idea of, Reiki is always going to put you exactly where you need to be. And I had such a beautiful reminder of that at the retreat this weekend. So my name is spelled Isabel, which in today's day and age is a really unusual way to spell Isabel. Usually it has double L or LLE, right? Or it's Isabella. And we were at the Reiki retreat and I connected with these two beautiful women and we did sessions for them, and they were lovely and really had profound experiences. But at the end, one of them came up to me and she was like, you know, my grandmother's name was Isabel, spelled exactly the same way. And the next woman came over and she was like, you know, I used to have a spiritual teacher and her name was Isabel, and we lost touch. And I think the universe just gave me my Isabel back. And it was just this moment of like, there's no way I could have planned that, you know, like and even like the backstory of, I used to go by Izzy, and it's only recently that I've started going by Isabel, and that's what went on my name tag. You know, it's the interweaving of energy and being placed exactly where you need to be is just astounding. And so I think this is why when we talk about our Reiki stories and when we share with Reiki Cafe University community members, that it's like, your journey is your journey. Because I mean, obviously Christine and I's journey with Reiki were completely different, vastly different. And yet we've both ended up exactly where we need to be. And we can hold our own unique space for our students and our clients and ourselves to do that healing work that we wouldn't have been able to do if we hadn't kind of stepped back and say, okay, I'm going to step into who I am. I'm going to trust this process. I'm going to let Reiki guide me on my journey and let that be enough. And so I think that's one of we have a podcast episode coming out on the 17th of May called I'm New to Reiki, What Should I Know? And it's all of the advice that Reiki practitioners from our community shared for new Reiki practitioners. And my piece of advice has always been, let your journey be your journey. You're not here to experience anybody else's path. You're not here to do it like anybody else, because it's already been done that way, right? Source didn't come in. Your soul didn't manifest you and all of your quirks and your personality and everything to experience someone else's journey. It came here to experience life and consciousness from this unique perspective and this unique energy. And so when we can step into our Reiki journeys, when we can really, as hard as it is, let go and say, I'm not going to drive the bus anymore. I'm going to let the universe walk me forward through this. That's when we're really honoring the Reiki energy. We're really honoring our Reiki path because it's unique and it's ours. And if we try and mold it or, you know, should on ourselves about this isn't how it should be, or I should be doing it like so-and-so, or, oh, they do it this way, should I be doing it that way? We immediately are veering off the path and we're stepping away from that true nature of Reiki, which is to put you exactly where you need to be in exactly the moment that you need to be there, whether that looks like anybody else's journey or not. And so I love that we're sharing these stories because I think it really is driving home that idea of everybody's journey looks vastly different, and yet you're always going to end up exactly where you need to be.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. I love that piece of don't, like, how did you phrase it with the bus? Like, don't let the bus drive. What was it? What was that phrase?
Don't drive the bus.
Don't drive the bus.
I know. I'm like, I love my mother just for that phrase. Like, it is,
right?
Sometimes I'll do something and I'll call her on the phone and I'm like, blah, blah, and she's like, Isabel, you're driving the bus again. And I'm like, oh shit. Yeah, you're right. I am.
Right. Totally. And I think that was like a really big piece of my story and my journey as well, is because I tried to drive the bus for so long. And then eventually when I was like, all right, Reiki is driving the bus. Reiki is going to do the thing for me and I don't have to worry about it. And just starting to trust and not judge myself and others was huge. And, you know, one of those pivotal moments of like, I kept getting involved with things and not knowing exactly why, I just found myself there. So like, I took this online business training in 2016 called Be True Brand You. And the person who was offering it was a Reiki master, but it was a business course. And I took it because I was like, she's so funky and she's so out there and she's, you know, got crazy hair. And I just wanted something that wasn't mainstream. Like I wanted to learn from someone who could really shake things up, because I feel like the people who are willing to have funky hair and wear funky clothes or whatever it may be, they're really trying to be true to themselves. And her course being called Be True Brand You really resonated with me. It really was like, yeah, that's what I want. I want people to understand that, like, I'm comfortable in my own skin and my own story and my own journey. And I want to let people know that, like, if I can do it, if I can stand in my truth and I can be successful, then you can too. And that was so huge for me. I just loved that course. Was so eye-opening about how to connect and communicate from sharing your story in a business way. And when I started doing the exercises and all of the things, it made me get super comfortable on camera and online and not being fearful of other people judging me. I got really comfortable. Like, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. And knowing that the right practitioners, the right students, the right business help, like, hello, Izzy, like, our story is so unique of like how Izzy came into Reiki Cafe. And, you know, in 2016, I had an in-person business. I had no preconceived notions of where my business was going to be 5 years from then. And I think that's it. Like, right now, if Izzy asked me, where am I going to be in 2 years? Where am I going to be in 5 years? She and I both know, like, I don't know yet. They haven't told me. Right? Like, there's this thing of like Reiki Cafe and our programs are going to be around for the long haul, but the way they start to transform and hold space for more and all of that, like, I don't have an understanding of what the business plan is going to be in 5 years from now. I just consistently show up and say, okay, universe, show me the next thing. Tell me what you want me to do. And they make me get a little obsessive. And I love it. I love it though. That, like, I find myself in spaces and places that the inspiration is coming in, and then I go down those rabbit holes. And so whether that is chakras from, you know, 5, 10 years ago, and like, I was really reading all of the books, I was getting my hands on all of the things, to learning how to be a coach and like learning how to ask questions and learning how to hold deep transformational space for others. Like, I love that this weekend at the retreat, like, we seem to just attract people who are ready to share their vulnerable side and us to be able to hold space for them. I think we had at least 5, 10 people come sit with us to start crying. And just being able to recognize where everyone was at and just being able to be like, you're absolutely okay being right where you are. And let's get you the support to know that healing is possible. And so it was just such a blessing to be able to come into the space and let Reiki lead. And I love that, because when we start getting into this energetic flow space, whether you want to call it the vortex or your zone of magic or your zone of genius or whatever it is, like when you're in that space of alignment and you're letting Reiki drive, then the things that show up that you need, whether that's Isabel herself, like when, you know, it was 4 years ago that I just put out to the universe, I'm like, if you want me to keep doing this, universe, then you need to send me a social media manager. Like, I can't keep up with all of the pieces and do the teachings well. So you need to send me the person. And literally within a week, Izzy out of nowhere sent me a message going, do you need help? And I was like, I have no idea who this person is. You know, we didn't know each other. She wasn't in Reiki Cafe community. Like we had never connected before. And I'm like, I'm going to trust that the universe provided this person for me. And I'm going to trust that whatever needs to be developed here is going to reveal itself. And so I was like, yeah, try this out. Like, see what you can do with this. And that's where we started. And now she's completely a pillar in the company of like being able to not only be the teacher, but the website designer and the graphic artist and all of the things, and really the alchemist, and knowing and honoring like Isabel is on her own spiritual journey, and wherever that leads to her, I'm willing to say, let Reiki drive the bus, you know? And I think that is such an important piece of like working with Reiki Cafe. Like there's I really don't have a judgment of the way it has to be. I trust so much that the universe has that divine plan in store and will provide all of the experiences and the networking and all of the things. Like, I had no intention to going to the Northeast Reiki retreat. I didn't. I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, good for them. Like, great. And it's in New York. I'm in Montana. Like, I'm not even in the Northeast. And then literally my spirit guides woke me up at like 4 a.m. a couple of days later after I saw it for the first time. I didn't even know it existed. And so they woke me up and they were like, you're going to New York. And I was like, crap. Okay. I will go to New York. I will do the things. And it was great. I'm so glad we did. But it's just that availability to let spirit guide you. And so many practitioners have this, I'll follow spirit if, you know, and they have all this list of conditions. And I'm like, I don't want the list of conditions. Everything that I experienced happened for a reason, whether it was like the travel that I've done recently. Like if you've heard any of my travel stories, you'll be like, whoa, that was a lot. Costa Rica was a lot. You know, I had a huge spiritual, I don't even know what to call it. It was just like, it wasn't a dark night of the soul, but it was like a spiritual crunchiness. Like I thought I was going to die from a spiritual point of view. Like I was under attack, and it was totally meant to happen exactly the way it did. And I'm so glad I had Chantel, another one of our Reiki Cafe team members, with me, because she was like, she is over there doing her oracle cards and her tarot decks. And she's like, she's drawing her cards. She's like, oh, this is all happening for a reason, Christine. You're supposed to like go through this and it's going to be really hard. And then you're going to go teach lessons to the world about it. I'm like, yeah, that's my life. So it really is when I'm in the thick of it, because we're human. I think that's the other thing. Like we're human. It's not all going to be vacation here down on earth. We're going to have the ups and downs, and on the downs going, what's the lesson? What's the learnings? What am I supposed to get out of this? And really Costa Rica was like, you asked for a story. You needed a storyline to teach through. And guess what? Here it is. Here's the storyline. You want all of the things, all the darkness that to like move through intrusive entities and all of the things. Well, guess what? We're going to give you the perfect story to teach it through. And And so I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I had the practitioners in my life that could give me support. I'm so glad that it was a really safe, like physically, I was actually fine. Like there was, it was, I had the most beautiful food there. It was the gorgeous location. Like there was nothing around the people or the place, like the physical container that happened. It was such a spiritual experience that no one else was experiencing. It was really like universe, like you wanted a story, here you go. And to trust that process. Like, so every time there is something that's uncomfortable, every time there is something that's going, what feels like it's going wrong, like this isn't the way it's supposed to be, to take a step back and go, if Reiki is driving the bus, what is it supposed to be teaching me? What am I supposed to be learning here? How is this a tool that I can share with others so that they can learn from my story? And so I'm in a huge space, like our most recent blog was on my trip to Ecuador and how like I got over my writer's block and going, I'm an excellent storyteller. Here I am today telling you stories. Why? Because this is how I teach and communicate and I thrive in it. And I love showing up in the space. I turn on, I light up. And so I'm all about telling stories. So how can I tell stories to the world, to my students, to clients, so that they can self-accept where they are in their life and keep letting go of ego, keep letting go of the stories and attachments that they have so they can say yes to letting Reiki drive the bus.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, at the end of the day, one of the things that you were talking about, how Reiki practitioners or spiritual seekers tend to be like, I'll listen to the universe when, or I'll trust my intuition when. And a lot of times what's on the other side of that when is when I can see what comes next, right? We want that security of knowing what happens a month, 5 months, a year, 10 years down the line. And I think one of the biggest lessons that you learn as you really dive into Reiki and really letting Reiki lead is that we don't get to know, because from the universe's perspective, from our intuition's perspective, we're safe always. We're guided always. We're protected always. We don't need to know 10 years down the line, because what happens 10 years down the line isn't important right now. It's what's important is right now. And I think that's such a difficult switch mentally that Reiki calls us to, but it's one of the most important ones to make, because again, Reiki is always happening now. Can we send Reiki in the future, in the past? Absolutely. Can we align ourselves so that we are on our path and where we need to be 10 years from now? Absolutely. But do we get to know what happens? No. And the more we try and do that, the more we limit ourselves, because, you know, looking back 5 years ago, I never would have imagined that I would be where I am today. There is literally not a single element of my life right now that is what I would have picked out 5 years ago. And I think a lot of people hear me say that and they're like, oh, that must be really sad. That must be really hard. And it's like, no, it's amazing, because my life would have been so much smaller if I had gotten to choose. If I was driving the bus and life had gone the way that I thought it would go, it would be so much more limited and so much smaller. And now it's, you know, every day is filled with an experience that I never would have expected. And I'm incredibly grateful that I let Reiki lead, because even though I didn't know what was going to happen, right? When I quit my job and messaged Christine randomly on Instagram, even though she had no idea who I was, when I dropped out of school, when I started my business, all of these when I's that required me to leap. And I didn't know what was on the other side, but I knew that there had to be something, because there, that Reiki is pulling you forward. And so I think a lot of times what I tell people is, if you can feel that pull forward, if there's that motivation in you, that momentum to keep moving, then there's a reason you're moving. We don't need to know the reason. We don't need to know what comes next. We don't get to know what comes next, really, most of the time, because it distracts us from what's happening right now. But if you can feel that pull, then you can lean into the trust that there's something on the other side of that. There's something that's calling you towards it. And so the best thing you can do is honor that by being exactly where you are right now and being in that fully. And so it's, you know, like Christine said at the start, this is a conversation that we could have for hours and hours and hours, and we're barely scratching the surface of our Reiki stories, but it's hopefully it's been helpful to be able to look at, you know, a range of how Reiki can show up and guide you forward, and the lessons that we both learned, even though we came about it in a completely different way. So once again, we would love for you to share your Reiki story, because we really do find healing and inspiration. And one of the things that I tell my students is we're all just waiting for somebody to give us permission to be exactly who, where, and how we are. And that true healing, that true acknowledgement of your Reiki path happens when you realize that only you can give yourself that permission. And a lot of times that permission comes when we listen to other people and we hear them sharing their Reiki stories and saying, this is how I did it. Now you go have your experience, you go have your journey. And so we would love to hear what your journey has been, whether it's just, you know, one client that you had that changed your practice, or how Reiki found you, or anything in between. Join us in our Reiki Cafe community Facebook group so that we can share that energy and share how, when we let Reiki lead, even though we don't know necessarily where we're being led to, it's always exactly what we need in each moment.
Absolutely. So thank you all for listening. Know that we have got some really amazing things coming up. The month of May, we're really going to be focusing on our Reiki stories, our Reiki journeys, Reiki tips and tricks, all of the things. It's going to be a Reiki focused month. And know too that we have got some really exciting programs and offerings coming up. We have our Reiki business sales, relationships and sales course starting here very soon. We also have our Bozeman Shamanic Reiki retreat. We're calling it Soul Rising Workshops. We're going to be available to book those, whether you want to do just a couple of the workshops or you want to hang out with us the whole entire time. We also are heading down to California in July to be at Hemet, California, around where Chantel lives, to do workshops there. Reiki Master training is coming up in June. We have so much going on, and we would just love for you to check out those offerings. Let us know if there's anything in particular that you're looking for, and we would love to help point you in that direction. So know that you can message me over on Facebook Messenger anytime. That is the fastest way to get a hold of me, but feel free to shoot us an email, connect with us on Instagram, wherever you are most comfortable. We're on the majority of the social media spaces, and we look forward to connecting and supporting you along your Reiki journey. Lots of love and light. Take care, everyone. Reiki Cafe Radio is sponsored by Reiki Cafe University, where your Reiki dreams become reality. Join us on Instagram or Facebook at Reiki Cafe University. Watch our videos on YouTube or visit the website to learn more about our colleges of Reiki, chakras, and business.
It's our aim to help you on your path to wellness, guiding you into confidence as you transmute your inner critic and say yes to you. We're here to help you bring your Reiki dreams into reality, and your path to abundance, health, and healing unfolds from here.
And love and light, Christine Renee.
And Izzy Wells.